If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Pulse of Finns Nation. I am your host, Louis Sung. I am doing, listen to me. It has been a long day. My tongue is twisted into knots. And we're going to have a lot of weird audio stuff today, whether it's me just screwing over words or you'll find out in a second. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm also joined by Ron Caniff. Mr. Caniff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, although I've been told I sound more like Barry White or Darth Vader than I sound like myself these days. So,
yeah, I don't know what happened. Ron messed with his audio equipment a little bit for another show, and now he can't stop talking like this.
I don't know. I don't know. Disconnect and reconnect everything here at some point.
For anybody who's listening to this on the 3 Yards YPC audio feed after the fact, if it feels like that, don't adjust your phone or whatever. Like, does somebody mess with like a Realtek audio? Do you guys remember that you had like the Realtek audio tab in the bottom right, and you could just up it so that you can sound like the chipmunks or go like where Ron is right now? Do you guys remember having that?
No.
No, was that just me? Okay. Well,
what was this for? Like a recorder? Like
it was like it was like a little audio tab. Like it was a Realtek audio something or other. It was like a little shortcut on the bottom right of the toolbar, and you could just kind of click it.
Oh, the Realtek. You mean the I remember when you get your first computer, and they would give you this little like ghetto mic that was like shaped like an L. Does anybody remember that? That Realtek mic you used to get? It was just this little tiny skinny mic. I don't know. They used to come sometimes with a few, like a gateway computer back in the 90s.
But yeah, they had this audio tab that you could just change the pitch of whatever you were listening to. Like you could have YouTube videos, everything that came through that computer, even just the little thing that would come up when you had a notification, even that could be pitched up or down. It was for young me, that was some of the most fun I've ever had. I was very sad to find out that they had removed it. I cannot find anything to replicate it. I am sad for it. But
as long as it doesn't sound like the audio from the CBS feed on the game Friday night, that was I thought I was going nuts. Like something was going on my TV.
Where they're talking and all of a sudden, I thought it was just fine.
Yeah, whatever was going on, they got to fix that.
Yeah, you know what? It kept us from hearing Bo Camper, so I say they need to do it more. That's just me.
Was Bo really that bad for you, Ron?
Bro, Bro, you played football for so many years and one of the greatest teams. You've been covering the sport forever. You got to give me more than when somebody drops a ball. He should have caught that. Thanks, Bo.
I mean, thanks. Listen, he's talking about it from the football perspective. That was probably the perspective that he had when he was playing the game. And he's like, why didn't so-and-so catch that? So he's probably frustrated.
I will say this. I have missed the Dolphins, like the theme music that they play, because it stays in my head. Because I'm a music guy. So it stays in my head. So when I heard it, I was like, yeah, that's it. It's back, baby. I'm glad. So.
Yeah, I liked it when we had Greasy, and that like a year or two we had Jason Taylor. I thought he was really good at it.
JT
I thought,
was the best.
This guy's going to be a broadcaster, but he went into coaching instead. Doesn't he coach over at the U?
Yes, he is. Yeah, JT was the best of the bunch. I mean, this guy Goldie is okay. He's pretty good. Like he at least knows what he's doing, so he can actually he's not going to stumble over all of his words. But that was big. That was the biggest issue with Greasy and Moore was that they couldn't speak correctly anymore.
Yeah,
and Dick Stockton.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when you get old, you get replaced, as we found out in life. Yeah. So
no comment. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we'll talk about the preseason game, everything that went down, kind of like a post game, just because I didn't get a chance to say anything. I had a family emergency, which, by the way, big kudos to Duke and Coach Eric for stepping in and holding down the fort while I dealt with my situation. Everything is good now, thankfully. So,
and Eric Wideke.
Eric was there too. Yes, briefly. Yes. I forgot because I think Eric had to bow out. Something was wrong with his internet. So. By the way, Eric is not here with us today. He is currently dealing with a family thing, I think. So just wishing him well, and we'll see him later on in the week, I think, for a pregame show.
I don't understand all of this. We all make like $300,000 a year doing these podcasts. I don't understand why you can't be on.
Yeah, no, I wish, man. I wish. In any case, we're going to be talking about some of the depth that the Dolphins displayed against the Atlanta Falcons. Also, just go ahead and mention that this show, of course, is brought to you by Jerseys 305. Let me play the video for you guys, and you can go ahead and check that out.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called Jerseys305.com. That's Jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And again, that is jerseys305.com. So once again, you just use the promo code 5 and you will get 10% off when you do go on jerseys305 and get yourself some vintage jerseys. So it's funny, we're talking about Bo Camper. I wonder if you can find a Kim Bo Camper jersey. Do you think did they sell Bo Camper jerseys back in the day? Does anybody know that that's a thing?
I mean, I'm sure at some point they did. I mean, I don't know how old you think Duke and I are, though. And I'm just saying.
I don't know. Maybe you were. I have no idea. The lines kind of blur for me when it comes to anything beyond like
the early Marino days are the same to you as the 1972 Dolphins, as far as it's all before you were born. So
yeah, exactly.
It might as well be medieval times because it was before you were born. I mean, that makes sense. I get it. I don't know. I'm sure at some point in my life at a game or a practice, I've seen a Bo Camper jersey or maybe in the pro shop. I think I have. Obviously, you could have bought them. You could probably still buy them. I just don't know. I don't dislike him as a player. I just don't think his
I'm still waiting on my
analysis during the game is great.
I'm still waiting on my Eichenberg jersey.
don't hold your breath on that one, Duke.
Well, I tell you what, you're a little small for it, but it's possible that very soon he might just be able to send you his.
Yeah, well, maybe. Signed, of course, autographed.
That is not going to happen. Eichenberg is going to stick around.
Yeah, I'm sure. I believe that too. I think you're correct, Lewis. I think he might even start,
which is, golly, man. It's like the Dallas Thomas effect. It's like this man, he's terrible at what he does, but he just keeps coming back.
No,
I don't want to disrespect him like Dallas Thomas, bro.
He's not that bad.
Speaking of guys who just keep coming back, this is the guy that I'm actually glad to have on the team. Chad Ronenbaum is joining us in lieu of Eric Weideke being here. So, Mr. Chad, good to have you here, sir. How are you? I can't hear a word you're saying again. Please stand by.
I can't hear you, sir. He'll fix it. This happened last time he came on.
Yeah, he did. He has to like activate it. He just had
to reset something. Yes, this is very exciting for everybody, especially the ones listening and not watching live. Very exciting.
Nope, still can't hear you.
Still cannot hear you, sir.
All right. Hussam saying what's up in the chat. My father is confirming that they actually did have Kim Bocamper jerseys back in the day. So I guess we can have him as our reference point to the past.
You need to get one and hang it on your wall.
Oh, and my father says his jersey's hanging in the Bocamper's restaurant. So there you go.
Ah, there you go.
All right, Chad, test 1-2. Nope.
Not yet, sir.
What the crap? Okay, well, we'll get you in here eventually.
Probably something in the settings. Can you hear us, Chad?
Yeah, he can hear us just fine.
Okay, maybe something in your mic settings in StreamYard.
How about now?
Make sure.
Yes. Yep. I heard a thing. Hello, Chad.
There he is.
Yeah, I was pointing to the wrong device there. Sorry. Coming in short notice.
No worries. I appreciate you coming on to act as our four.
Yeah, sorry. I was real late. I was trying to get my Dallas Thomas jersey, but I couldn't find it. So.
Do you have a Dallas Thomas jersey?
No.
I was going to say, dude. I mean, I know people that will buy. I know I've seen a person or two on Dolphins Twitter that shows – that they have purchased every quarterback jersey at least since Marino. Like if they started a game, they had that jersey. I remember seeing that a few times, a few different people, which is impressive. I appreciate the commitment.
I'm going to give a piece of advice that I read from Omar on Twitter years and years ago, and I think it's.
I have a feeling I know what you're
going to
say.
I think it's apropos. It's about jerseys. He said, if you're going to buy a jersey, either get past player or customize it with your name. Don't get the current jersey. So, yeah, Tua just got paid. Remember, Tannehill got paid too. If something happens to you with that jersey, you're going to end up hating it. So, you know, get you a Marino jersey, get you a Bocamper jersey. They won't go bad. I have a Cam Wake jersey. So
there was one other thing, and I thought you were going to say this, but you didn't. So somebody said the rule for jerseys is you're not allowed to wear the jersey of someone who is younger than you. So you can only wear jerseys of people older than you are. If that person is the younger than you, you should not be wearing their jersey. I don't know why. It was somebody who used to be on ESPN 15 years ago. I don't remember the guy's name. But he said that, and I was like, but I don't know why. I just don't like to wear jerseys at all anymore. I almost generally have a Dolphin shirt on for the podcast of some sort. But I don't even own a jersey anymore. Last jersey I owned was Tannehill. And before that I had Henny and whatnot. But I don't have any of those anymore. I got rid of them all. Somebody got a present from something that somebody's grandma bought at Goodwill, and they probably weren't even a Dolphins fan and likely weren't a Tannehill fan. So sorry to that person.
I wear mine on game days. So
most people converted those Tannehills into Waddle jerseys and did okay. So
yeah, that's true. That's
the trick, really. It's like save yourself some money, keep the number, just pop a new name on there. All right.
Well, with Tua, he'll be the only number one because his will be retired.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
All right. I hope so.
Hussam's asking, does Kim Bocamper make this current Dolphins team, yes or no? Once again, I have to allude to my father. I don't know if he's saying yes because he's acknowledging that he's old or yes because he knows that Bocamper would make this team.
That almost sounds like he's saying Bocamper was a tight end? Linebacker?
I think he was a linebacker.
Is that what it was? Okay, that almost sounds like a super diss.
I'm pretty sure he was a linebacker. Yeah, he was a linebacker.
Okay.
Defensive end. So he was the olden day edge player because he was a linebacker slash defensive end.
He won the Killer Bees.
All right. Yeah. Oh, there you go. I guess we've talked about Bo Camper enough for one night.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Let's talk about the players that are currently on the team, shall we? All right. So the Miami Dolphins beat the Atlanta Falcons 20-13. Again, I picked the Falcons to win. I didn't really have any conviction towards that pick. I did not care. So it was, but it was very interesting to see what the difference was between the two units. I noticed that as far as the passing game is concerned, Skylar Thompson and Mike White suck. They suck. They're not good.
Been the observations from camp too, and that's not you, just you that thinks that. A lot of people have been saying that.
Like it is bad, but that did give us the opportunity to see what they could do in the run game. So, just seeing what Jalen Wright was capable of, that kid might have something there. He might have something special. He's got some punch to his runs, and he's got some speed with him too. So, I'm hoping that we'll be able to see a lot of Jalen Wright in the future. Raheem Mostert's not going to be here forever. I love Raheem Mostert. I think he earned his flowers. He's earned his money. I want to see him like retire a Miami Dolphin, to be perfectly honest. But eventually it's going to be the Devon Achane and Jalen Wright show, because both of those guys have proven, hey, there's really something there. As far as the passing game goes, don't try to throw the ball as Tua's there. Just don't. It's not going to work. That's what I learned. Do you guys concur, or am I being too harsh?
I mean, we still moved the ball, even though it was very subpar quarterback play. It just goes to some of the guys we have, like, well, you know, Jalen Wright, for example. He did well. And I don't know, it's just the design of the offense in general, even though they're not showing anything special right now. They weren't doing any of the cheat motion from last year, and that I recall. And we don't even know what it is exactly they're unleashing this year, but I heard it's going to be fun as well. And exciting, so, equal to like the a revelation of the cheat motion, not like that in any form, just equal to in impact. So I don't know. We still moved the ball. I mean, we had like 180 something yards. We were almost at 50-50 yards, 50-50 as in 50% yards for passing and rushing in the first half. I didn't really look at the second half numbers. Just kind of looked at the first half numbers. So yeah, but the quarterback plays subpar, no doubt. No doubt, for sure. So,
Chad, did you get a chance to watch the first game?
Yeah, I did. I watched it, and I watched it twice actually. So, I always take the preseasons with a grain of salt, because you got to realize you're going against their backups, you know. But it's encouraging when you see players win their matchups, and so when you see, you know, a Patrick Paul succeeding, I mean, yeah, he's not playing starting level defensive ends, but he is winning against their second and third stringers, and that's what you want to see. If you have an NFL caliber starter, they should win the matchups against second and third stringers. We were seeing that out of some of our younger players, which was encouraging. I haven't been a Mike White fan ever since he got here, so I don't understand it. That's all I could say. I mean, maybe Ryan Tannehill is better or not better, but I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, I was pushing hard. We should have went and got Justin Fields, I thought, because he could contribute more than just being a backup. But I thought Mike White looked putrid. Granted, I know he's playing with the third and fourth stringers at the point he ended the game, but both quarterbacks, it wasn't just like drops or guys weren't open. They were missing balls. They were not, they were struggling with accuracy, I should say. So, I don't get the hesitancy or what the team is thinking. But interestingly, I don't know if you guys saw the practice report today, but Skylar Thompson got almost all the snaps instead of Mike White. So I kind of feel like that's a little bit of a message. I don't know if that's what you guys think or if that was scheduled that way, but Mike White might be closer than we realized to getting gone. So
the reason I don't agree with that is because Miami hasn't brought in a fourth quarterback to basically hold down that last spot and give him time to get acclimated to the offense, because otherwise it would have kept Gavin Hardison around, and they did it.
They opened a spot though today, cutting Tart, so they have an open roster spot right now.
They're doing the word on the street is, Lewis, that they've done some work on some quarterbacks and are looking at that.
Dave Hyde said,
I don't know
Ryan
that
Tannehill.
That means
I'm not buying it.
I don't. Well, I don't. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill. I'm just, you brought up Ryan Tannehill. Now you know how to talk about that guy for an hour and how underrated he was. But anyway, I'm just saying, I mean, I don't know how true that is. I thought the same thing. I found it interesting that we saw Skylar Thompson start the game. Mike White, you know, played the second half. And then we're seeing Skylar Thompson get a lot of play in practice. But if you look at the pretend depth chart, that means nothing, but we're still going to analyze it like it means something. Still shows Mike White is QB2. So I was kind of hoping I'd look at it and see Thompson is QB2 as like a real message to Mike White, like, brah, pick up your game. But don't know.
The concern there, Lewis, about bringing an extra quarterback would be if you think Mike White's going to get poached. I don't think he's going to get poached. And to Bangkok Bill's point there, I read that in the chat, and I was getting to say something. That's one of the things I know. I didn't really notice it with White as much, and I would give it to White that who he's throwing to, they're just not good players. They're not going to make the roster. But Skylar Thompson was late on a lot of things. I think the game hasn't really slowed down a lot for him yet. Now, maybe the coaches and people would disagree, but it seems like the first play of the game, that little swing pass to Wilson. And granted, Tanner Connor didn't hold the block well, but that pass should have been thrown about a half second earlier than what it was. He just got there late, and it seems like his reads are just late. There's some guys out there, and I think Alf mentioned this. I saw a name was Case Keenum, who would be a better fit for the system. And Ryan Tannehill, he's the third quarterback in Houston, and they're probably not going to keep him around. So he's a guy that, you know, as soon as they release him, you could sign him and add him as your add him to the practice squad if you needed to, or just add him to the roster and cut whoever. But I don't, if I was making my 53 projection right now, I don't know that I could say that the quarterback that's going to be QB2 is on the roster currently. But if it is, I would go with Skylar Thompson, mainly because you're going to save like $3.5 million by getting rid of White. So there's a financial aspect of it there too. So maybe that's the message. It's like, listen, you know, we're paying you extra money that we could save. You got to go out here and do something. And I'm hoping, you know, I know they mentioned on the broadcast, and it's an interesting idea that perhaps this is the warm-up game for the starters, since it is the home game. And then they'll use game three as like, you know, test between the rest of everybody else. So I don't know if they'll do that. But if that's the case, I think the next time that Tua does not play, it's going to be White gets the start, and then Thompson comes into the second half, just to kind of reverse the process. So, I didn't care for what I saw there.
Just for people who don't know what we're talking about, for somebody listening to this and not watching, Jason Stamp said, how about Martinez from the UFL? That guy played well.
I've not watched the UFL, so I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Who is Martinez?
Guy played well where? I have no idea.
I need a first name.
I guess it's Adrian Martinez, I think.
He played at Stanford or Nebraska. It was a school with a red jersey. That's all I remember. Because
apparently he's currently with the Jets, I'm guessing.
Are we sure that this isn't a situation where we're going to get the Chris Greer answer of, I think you guys are more worried about it than we are? I have a feeling we're talking about a subject matter that means really not a lot. It means a lot, obviously, if Tua gets hurt. I have a feeling if Tua got hurt, they would go out and get it. If he got hurt early in the season, they'd go get somebody. I don't think they trust either of these guys. I said this last year. I said I don't think they trust either of these guys to do it long term, but a spot, they would.
Would it not be like a wild sense of irony if something happened like that and they brought in Tannehill and he became the Earl Morrill of this year's Dolphins and they won the Super Bowl?
I mean, look, I'll say this. If you gave Tannehill, Tyreek, Waddle, OBJ, a running game out the wazoo like a Mike McDaniel can, if there was ever a chance he could become playoff quarterback guy, this would be it. Like, it's not his offense. He would have to learn to throw to spots and stop throwing at people. But there's no excuse for Tannehill anymore. Like, we would finally find out after 15 years or so, can he be a starting quarterback? Like, we gave him everything. Well,
that would be fun. But I don't think Tannehill's going to do it. I mean, if I was him, unless they're just like, look, we're going to give you the Jay Cutler deal and just pay you a bunch of money to come in here and play. I don't think he wants to come back to Miami. It would just be an odd situation, but.
I would just say this, and I think unless Chad has a lot of great information regarding the QB2, which I understand why we're talking QB2 because that's all we saw, right? We didn't get to see one. I feel like Tannehill would do it if it was a situation where Tua went out and he was out for long term and they were reaching out to somebody to play extensively. Then, are you kidding me? The line of quarterbacks retired and playing that would be at Miami's front door begging to run this offense.
Oh,
including Tom Brady, if he could figure out the whole Raiders ownership situation, he would absolutely want to come do it. Any quarterback would want to come do it. Marino would probably.
Bring back 13.
He's like, I can get rid of it in 2.1 seconds. Come on, man. I think that anybody would do it in that case. Does somebody want to come get paid $3 or $4 million and be a backup? Tannehill doesn't. I'm sure he's had those offers. He's hanging around waiting for an injury. That's what Tannehill and a few other guys are waiting around for. So those guys are there if we needed to go get them. But unless, like I said, Chad, you got something great to add to it, maybe we should talk about, like, I don't know, Patrick McMorris or something.
No, I don't. Like I said, it doesn't make sense to me because if anybody's a realist, if Tua goes down, we're not making the playoffs with either Skylar Thompson or Mike White, in my opinion. The AFC is too good. And if you're not going to make the playoffs with those guys, why pay Mike White $3.5 million? You pay Skylar Thompson his seventh round pick contract, and that's your backup if you don't want to use the money.
If Tua goes down, though, you can't just surrender and say, oh, well, screw this. I guess we'll try again next year. Like, what a waste of a year. You have to try something.
That's my point. It doesn't make sense to me. What do you – I mean, Mike White, I don't remember which receiver it was in that preseason game. He about got a guy killed. He led him into zone coverage, and he got his head taken off. I don't remember. He got a concussion in the game, I'm sure, whichever. It was one of our young receivers.
That was Zerhan Newton, I think. Was that Zerhan – Is it Newton? Burton.
Burton. I mean, here's the thing I'm frustrated by with it is both Thompson and Mike White have been in this offense two seasons now. They should be really good at it.
This is his third season. This would be his second. Yeah.
So you shouldn't be off. You shouldn't be struggling with timing and slow processing. I mean, it's been too long now. And so.
Okay. Well, here's another thing. Here's proof, a little bit of proof. We're talking about lower level quarterbacks that all this crap about how you can put anybody back there with Tyreek and Waddle. And I know Tyreek and Waddle were not on the field, but we've seen enough of Skylar Thompson. I don't know that we've seen Mike White in real games situations. We haven't actually. Mm-hmm. But even though from practice, you can't just put in White or Thompson or any other random QB 2 or 3 in the NFL and get even close to the same production on the offense. Tua is that guy. It's why they gave him $55 million a year and $167, right? I believe I have guaranteed, or was it $187? I forget which it was.
There's a decimal. That's why. Somewhere.
So I understand that we're seeing, not loving the performance of the backup quarterbacks. It's not exactly an easy offense to run. It takes some serious pinpoint accuracy, of which Tua has, better than almost any quarterback in the NFL. And it's just bodes well for his value, why we paid him, and how important he is to the offense.
Yeah, they're a handful of quarterbacks that could run this offense as good as Tua, and they're all making about the same amount of money as Tua. So that's, you're not going to find a backup that does that unless you draft a guy. And, you find the diamond in the rough there. But, they have to change some things. They have to change some things regardless of what comes in, whether it's Tannehill or it's another rookie that gets cut or whoever else. You know, like Bailey Zappi, for example, is a name that's probably going to be on the market. So It's not going to be the same, but you just, you know, as long as it's like, oh, he stubbed his toe, he's going to be out of game. You just need somebody to keep you afloat. Sure. If it's like he's going to be out for 6 weeks, then yeah, you're going to need somebody different.
All right. Marcus? So we've established our backup QB situation is dire. So, but if Tua plays all 17 games, doesn't matter. So that's the
20.
Well, 16. He's resting week 17.
Oh, week 17. We don't care about the 17 and 0.
Week 18. Nah.
Week 18. We don't care about the 17 and 0. Week 18
is on the concrete field at MetLife, so we don't want to just play all the.
Yeah, just take two out of both those games. Like we can beat the Jets. It doesn't matter. I don't want, as soon as Aaron Rodgers busts his hip on the field the next time he plays there. Oh God.
Somebody said, weren't we considering Zach Wilson for a minute? I don't know who he is, but I know it wasn't anyone at the Dolphins organization. I can tell you that. Oh, but I don't know.
Well, you had a trade to acquire him, and I don't think they wanted to do that. No. Now, if he gets cut, absolutely.
Still no.
Take a chance on the guy. I mean,
no.
You add him to your practice squad as the emergency third guy. So, you know, who cares at that point? If you're on the third guy, you're not
Duke,
winning. Don't worry about
we
it.
We have the guy he was benched for. We don't need Zach Wilson.
But listen.
And he's not good either.
listen. Once you look at Geno Smith. Once you get the stink of the Jets off of you, there might be something there.
Yeah, Sam Darnold's starting for the Vikings now, right?
Exactly.
One name you that could get intriguing if he gets cut, although I think he's beating out Mac Jones right now, would be C.J. Beathard. The 49ers offense has a lot of similarities to the Dolphins, and he kind of has a skill set, I think, that could do it. And he is competing with Mac Jones for the backup job for Jacksonville right now. So be just
and
a guy to watch.
Is very familiar with him.
He coached
when he was there.
Might be a guy that'd come in, you know, for, you know, a couple million or something to be a third quarterback, a backup quarterback with Thompson in place of Mike White and potentially be better.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk the actual players who we cared about here. So Jalen Wright, we already went over him. 10 carries, 55 yards, 5.5 yards per carry, one touchdown. This kid runs hard. I'm very happy with what we're getting from Jalen Wright. I think he's going to be really good. Interestingly enough, the tight ends were actually more effective catching passes than anybody else. Tanner Connor, like, I really hope that Tanner Connor's injury is not important or is not a big deal. 3 catches for 70 yards. That one big one was very impressive to me. Like, he actually broke a tackle, which is something that Mike Gesicki has never done since when he was here.
Besides being a little shorter and being able to break tackles a bit more, he's Mike Gesicki. That kind of tied in just hasn't worked for Miami. He cannot block. He cannot even not only not block, he can't even like get to his.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Block where he's supposed to be, or the person he's supposed to be blocking. And I am as far from a professional football analyst, X's and O's guys, as you can be, right? For being a fan, a lifelong fan. I'm just not an X's and O's guy. I don't watch all 22 like Duke does. And just watching the game live, I was like Tanner Connor, like, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing? I mean, he made some fine catches. But in this offense, we saw, I mean, Gesicki makes plenty of fine catches. He makes some outstanding, phenomenal catches. But he wasn't right for this offense because he just couldn't block. I think he probably blocks better than Tanner Connor.
That first play of the game was Tanner Connor, where Jeff Wilson got on, was like a swing pass or whatever. I don't know if it was the first play, but I think it was early in. That was a D-back out there, beat Tanner Connor and tackled. That should not happen. Like, Tanner Connor should clean a D-back out of there, and that should have been a gain. So it was a good design play that got the matchup they wanted to, and he didn't get the job done. So I'm with you on that, Ronnie.
All right, but here's my thing, though.
I think he might make the team, but he's not.
But yeah, that's my thing, though, is that, yes, Tanner Connor is a struggle with a block, but here's my problem. Because you have Jody Fortson on the other end, he's the guy competing with Connor. Because we already have Smythe, we have Jonnu Smith, and we have Julian Hill. Now, Miami could, maybe none of those guys make the roster. Maybe we only keep three tight ends. I don't think we will, because I don't think that's McDaniel's MO. But,
I think they like Julian Hill.
Right, but that's sure. Still three.
Yeah. No, that's your third.
Smythe, Smith, and Hill. So,
yeah, I could almost bet anything they're going to keep more than three tight ends this year.
Right,
the tight end's going to be a more important part of the offense, so I think they're keeping four.
And the guy that I think they might look at would be Hayden Rucci. He's the undrafted free agent rookie that came in. And if you watch the Jalen Wright touchdown play, he comes off the end and destroys, the Falcons' second round pick. I don't want to say his name, the defensive tackle from Clemson, or Horhoro. I don't know. I'll butcher it, I'm sure. But he destroyed him. That's a defensive tackle, a 300-pound plus defensive tackle. Here's this guy just moving him out of the way. So, you know, you've got a receiving threat with Jonnu Smith. You've got your, you know, kind of blocking jack of all trades, master run guy with Smythe. And then you've got Julian Hill, who's kind of like, we're grooming him and developing him to be tight end one at some point. Maybe that's your maybe Rucci's the guy who's like, all right, we're gonna bring him in to be our kind of a blocking tight end slash, you know, Alec Ingold eventual replacement kind of thing. So I liked what I saw from him. I thought he played pretty hard. So maybe that's the guy. I Connor had the catches, and then he got hurt. I don't think it was anything significant. Jody Fortson
with himself though.
Jody Fortson didn't really show up, so
and yeah, that's my point though. It's like Fortson can block better, but Fortson drops passes left and right. That's a big concern for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, I think, you know, maybe they look elsewhere, but I think it's kind of that if they're going to keep a fourth one, it's an open competition between those three guys right now.
And Jason Stamps asking if roster spots are a premium this year, is tight end four worth it?
I don't think it is. Not with the practice squad. You can either put Tanner or Rucci or both on your practice squad. And I don't think either one of those players are at high risk of getting poached. I don't think Fortson's making the team. I think he's already lost his job unless he does something crazy the next couple weeks. But I think he's right, especially with what we have going on with our offensive line right now. I think they're going to use that roster spot on something else.
And let's go ahead and keep going down here. So we'll finish up with the offense here, talking about this. Offensive line, it wasn't good overall. There were some players who did better than others, so that's at least a positive. But oh my God, guys. I know that there are some people saying, well, don't get too excited because XYZ. But Patrick Paul, man. Like, I was going, you guys know, I was very, very, very critical of the pick. I'm still critical of the philosophy that was the pick was made with. But the player himself, just the smallest bit of training on how to be an offensive lineman, and already Patrick Paul looks like this guy's going to be an all-pro in a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple times where I watched – I did watch, I guess, quote-unquote, some all-22. I don't think it was really all-22. Some kind of end-zone feed, and I saw all of Patrick Paul's snaps. I saw everyone. I saw a few times where he didn't get his hand placement quite right, but in college it felt like he didn't get his hand placement quite right 75% of the time. And we saw a few times where he kind of got his – he kind of lost his balance and his feet weren't right. You know what I mean? There was a few times, but there was a lot of times where – he did exactly what he was supposed to, but even in those times where he didn't have his hands quite right or didn't have his feet quite right, he would still handle his guy just because
that's exactly what Chris
Greer
drafted him.
Yeah, which is exactly what, yeah. So there was just a few times, you know, where I saw that happen, but I don't know. I have a feeling Duke or Chad or both of them might have seen the same video I saw and probably have better analysis of it than I do.
Well, I watched Coach Eric's, you know, his review of the offensive line and grading. And I watched that last night, went over that. So if you get a chance, watch Coach Eric's, his review of that. I think it's on Five Reasons Sports. They've tweeted it out. But there are three plays that I saw from Patrick Paul that I liked more than any other, regardless of technique or anything else. First play was the screen pass to River Craycraft where he fumbled the ball. Right, the guy from Atlanta gets it, but it's out of bounds. Paul goes over and swipes the ball out of his hand. Just swipes the ball. The play's over. That's the play that the guy got hurt from Atlanta, and I hope he's doing well. I don't think it's a season-ending injury, thankfully. It looked bad. The next play was the one that everybody shows where he's blocking the defensive end and just pushes him downfield. And the play is over. And what does he do? He keeps pushing the dude. Just keeps pushing. The third play was the play where there it's supposed to be the pass to Jalen Wright, and it gets bobbled, and he reverses field. And Patrick Paul gets on his horse and just goes. He is going as hard as he could humanly go to find a human to block. It's not his fault that Jalen Wright's just a lot faster than he is and outruns him. But those three plays stood out to me because it's number one, it's effort, and it's a mean streak, right? And we've not had a bully situation on the offensive line since 2013.
Was that tongue in cheek? Is that tongue in cheek, or are you just referring to the way they play?
Yeah, that's tongue in cheek. So you know, I watched the interviews of this guy. Hussam did the interview of him at the draft. And the guy seemed so polite and so kind and so friendly and just so excited and bubbly.
And then he gets into the Hulk.
And then he gets on the field and he acts like, dude, I'm going to crush your soul and eat it. Like, he was taking lunch money and not feeling bad about it. I love that.
Because he knows he can.
that's what this offensive line needs. But it was those three plays that stood out to me, because that just shows some things that we've not seen from guys. Even if they play well, it's just something we've not seen. Especially like when we swipe the ball out of that dude's hand, it's just like this dude's just trying to be a prick out there on the field. And that's what you want to see really from your offensive line. That's what I want to see. So I was really enjoyed to see that.
I thought the offensive line as a whole, our backup offensive lineman beat their backup defensive lineman quite a bit during the game. I thought Driscoll looked okay, which kind of surprised me a little. I hadn't really heard much about him. And Patrick Paul, I mean, that's no accident. That's why, you know, Keon Smith got hurt playing guard, is I think he had already, we've got four tackles, like tackle only guys now with Paul. So I think they were trying to help Keon Smith have a shot to make maybe that final offensive lineman roster spot. But I personally like putting talented rookies with good veterans, and so you can't match better than Paul with Teron Armstead. You have one of the best,
and Kendall Lamb. I mean, they both have
but Lamb's not
experienced. Yeah, but they both have experience to offer. You know what I mean? A lot of experience.
For sure. I mean, we have Teron Armstead teaching technique to Patrick Paul, and I mean, he's one of the best technical linemen in the league. Teron Armstead is so. Patrick Paul should only get better, and he's just a big dude. Yeah,
somebody put in there chat Patrick Maul. I like that. That's good.
I know.
Maul for anybody that thought I meant he likes to go shop at the mall.
Yeah, it was, and what you notice, you know, one is he's such a massive person, and it's just one of those linemen. If those DNs get into him at all, it's just over. There's nothing they can do. His arms are long, and he's just so big. He just kind of moves them, and so it'll be interesting to see when we get, you know, into more real football, when you've got really elite DNs that are quick, or where people are scheming stunts and stuff against him, how well he handles that. Cause he was getting pretty well based defense thrown at him so far, but he seems like a pretty smart guy. I think he'll pick that stuff up throughout the season. And I think he'll be our starting left tackle next year.
And that would be a very big relief, because there's a part of me, I tweeted this out. It's like, if there was any way we could like restructure, redo Armstead's contract, it's like, listen, man, you're not actually here to play. You're just here to be the Udonis Haslam of the Miami Dolphins. Just sit there and teach Patrick Paul how to play football.
You know what? He can sit his butt over there and be an assistant offensive line coach for $75,000 a year and like the rest of them, okay? Sorry, we ain't paying some dude millions of dollars to be the assistant offensive line coach.
Yeah, and Chad mentioned, you know, the rest of the offensive line. I want to shout out a name that I thought played pretty well given what kind of expectations are of him, and that was Lester Cotton. And look, if that dude can turn it around.
Okay, but hold on, Duke. I'm going to cut you off real quick. Keep in mind that most of Miami's actual production was with running the football, which is exactly what Lester Cotton does. Lester Cotton can eat anyone alive, but he can't pass protect.
Look, I don't care. He was bad last year, but if he can develop, and I said this on another site. There is something about Lester Cotton that they like. There's something that he has that they really like, because they signed him off the practice squad. He immediately started in the playoff game against Buffalo. He goes in, he makes the team last year and plays like the third most snaps, I think, of any offensive lineman. And they've kept him around. There is something about him if they can just develop it. And look, again, you know, going back to what Coach Smith said, he's been shouting out Robert Jones. Guess who had the orange jersey today in practice? Robert Jones. They believe in development. You know, yeah. not every guy can come.
Robert
in
Jones is going to start at right guard, man. He's going to start at right guard.
Robert Jones is going to start any guard position. When Isaiah Wynn comes back, he'll start at one. Rob Jones is the other. Eichenberg hits the bench when that happens. And that's just how it is. I think Robert Jones is that dude. And so the fact that they believe in this development, and if you can get a guy like Lester Cotton and develop him, man, what a blessing that would be, because he's not going to cost you a lot. That's just another draft pick you don't have to use on an offensive lineman. Do I expect it to happen? Absolutely not. But I'm not gonna doubt it either, just because look, these guys have earned my trust. Butch Berry, like it says in the comment, Butch Berry, we trust. That's right.
You know what? I'm going to think. So I want to see if Duke and Chad, because you are the draft guys, and it just kind of this kind of occurred to me, and I'm sure this isn't like some revolutionary thing that no one else ever thought of before. But it kind of feels like there's two team philosophies when you're putting a roster together, whether it's drafting free agents, undrafted free agents, the guy that's been in and out of the NFL at training camps for 2 years, whatever it is. There's teams that want to stack their roster with quote-unquote football players, and then there's teams that want to that look a little bit more to trait guys. And it kind of feels like Miami with certain positions like offensive line, wide receiver, although, I mean, let's face it, they got some football players there, so maybe that's a bad example. Running back, in secondary, cornerback, they are like, they look at the traits of a player and believe they can coach those players to where they need them to be. Where some guys, they're like, just give me football players, 4 years starting college, blah, 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 blah. I'm just curious, Chad, Duke, what you think of that opinion I have. Is it complete? I mean, if it's wrong, tell me, no, you're wrong. But just thinking about it, you know, when I think about how they've picked certain positions and just try and coach them up.
I think it's scheme specific, typically. It goes both ways. I think you have to have a player that has at least a base level of talent, and you've seen the extreme where that fails with somebody like, jumping back will be like Steve Spurrier. When he came in the NFL, he drafted a lot of like his guys that were trait guys, and they were terrible because they just didn't have the talent. I think with McDaniel, on positions for offensive line, you need to be a good technical and mobile offensive lineman, ideally. And you're going all the way back to the old Mike Shanahan Denver days with Terrell Davis. The linemen move a lot. And so, you know, a lot of people, when you're trying to evaluate linemen, it can be tough with Miami. There was a player in this game that was going to be a counter with Jeff Wilson, and he slipped and he got, you know, hit from the left side, but the play was actually going right. And the linemen work a little bit on those, almost like a screen. Mike McDaniel loves to not block defensive linemen, like intentionally. And so he's using all this misdirection all the time. And he doesn't even care if it's Micah Parsons. I don't care. I'm not going to block you because I just want you to believe we're going to run at you a little bit. But the play is going the other way. If you want to try to run down Devon Achane and a Tyreek Hill or Raheem Mostert, good luck trying to run those guys down when they're going the other way. And so,
and they're already 5 yards ahead of you.
Yeah. I mean,
running
they're
full
all
speed and
really
they know where
fast.
You're going and you don't know yet.
And so that's a guy like Brewer, for example, a guy like that, you know, he wants him having the ability to like hold a block just for like a half a second or a second and then get downfield and block, you know, linebackers 5-6 yards down the field and move. And so I think that's what McDaniel likes in his offensive linemen. I think that's why guys like Robert Jones are, you know, that have been in it for a few years. He's fairly mobile and he's learning the little intricacies of the run game. I think Mike McDaniel's run game is much more complex than people realize on the little nuances those linemen are doing. Mm-hmm. So I think there is that. I think it's just a balance on when you're doing draft picks. I think, you know, GMs have their traits they like Jeff Ireland did not like old players. He always wanted to get guys that were under 30. So he would do second contract guys or rookies, but he would never go get a Teron Armstead or a Jordan Poyer. And I think the current philosophy is mix good veterans with young guys and hope that their leadership helps develop them along with the coaching staff. And so I think that's what Miami's doing as well. And I don't think you see a lot of rookies play in the Miami system. You know, you don't see it a lot. The rookies don't just come in and start right away, and they give them time to develop. So
I've never been an ageist when it comes to athletes. Like, I still believe that even old guys, they still have plenty to offer, not just experience. I think these guys can still play too, especially if they were good in their prime. As in the case of like guys like Teron Armstead, Jordan Poyer, like these guys can
Calais
still play.
Campbell's probably
Calais Campbell,
start.
My God. Like this guy
got Tart today. Like I think well, Campbell's going to start.
But Tart was a low motor. Yeah. But Tart's problem was not that he's old. Tart's problem is that he's low motor and doesn't give a crap. That was his problem.
But when he was brought on this team, we were led to believe that he might have been the guy starting next to Sealer. And
well, that's based
now
on
now he's cut.
that's for performance. That's projection based, not so
yeah.
much.
No, like, I'm just saying. So, yeah, I'm just saying you just never know. And then they grab, when we had Tart, we hadn't grabbed Campbell yet. Now all of a sudden this guy comes in and everybody's like, damn, this guy can still play. And he's here to ball, man. He wants to keep going.
And yes. To Chad's point about the draft, and one of the things that we may not have seen in a while in Miami is the fact that we have coaching and quality coaching. The name that has popped all summer long is Quentin Bell. And they have mentioned, and his name just escaped me, so forgive me, but it's the linebackers coach for the team. They brought his name up as a guy that's developed them. And we've talked about Butch Berry. Embry?
Anthony Campanile. Embry is, I believe, not
Campanile. It's somebody else.
He's gone now, isn't he?
Campanile. Yeah.
I just Googled it. It said that he was still the guy.
No,
he's with the Packers. I'm sorry. Packers,
his last name's like Bush or something, if I recall correctly.
Hold on. I'm pulling up the coaching staff.
Yeah, the tight ends coach and the offensive line coach. It's like
Joe Barry.
Ryan Crowe. Thank you.
Oh, Ryan Crowe. Okay, that's for outside linebackers.
Thank you, I mean, Jason.
Yes. It's just that we're getting good coaching so that they can develop these guys that have traits, right? So you get a guy like Quentin Bell, who was a former wide receiver in college, switched to defensive end like his last year of college. Super athletic, 6'3", 250 pounds, ran like a 4.5, just a really, really athletic dude. But he's not been able to put it all together, and he's bounced around, and now he's in possibly a great coaching staff. And what does he do? He's earning a roster spot. So to that, I think they look at both. They look at football players. They look at guys with traits, and they're like, you know what? We're not going to reach for a guy in the first round at tackle when we can get a guy like Patrick Paul with traits. We've got Butch Berry that can coach him up. So I think that's how they're going to approach it from here on out. So, that's just, you know, we've not really had great coaching for a long time on the staff going back probably before Sperano. They've just not had those guys.
And it starts from the head, and McDaniel's the head now. So yeah, I'll give him this. Like, there were coaches who came in and they brought in like really high reputation guys. Like, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like Joe Philbin brought in Mike Sherman, and Mike Sherman was before we knew what he was for real, because we watched him in real life. Mike Sherman was considered, oh wow, like an old head who knew a lot of what he was doing.
I think he's still considered that in NFL circles and coaching circles. I think Mike Sherman is still much more respected than he is by fans.
I mean, you've got a it's got to be a marriage of talent and the coach. Like, they've had Dave DeGuglielmo as offensive line coach at least three different times since the Sperano era. He's not a bad offensive line coach, but it seems like every time that he's coaching, they got crappy players. I mean, just guys that aren't very good. I think if I recall, he was here in 2019. Nobody wanted that offensive line. I think a couple of those guys are backups in the league right now. So, we've got talent and we've got good coaching. And when you marry that together, you get winning teams. So,
all right. So we're going to get ready to end it off close real quick. But since I want to at least touch on the defense just a little bit,
that was the exciting side of the ball.
I know, right? There's so many players that we could talk about, but we're running out of time. It's like
it's preseason. We're practicing.
Patrick McMorris, Ethan Bonner, Neville Gallimore.
Patrick McMorris.
Nick Needham made a good, a great pass defense. So reminding everybody that he's still around. Storm Duck. Like, Saran Neal, before he ended up getting hurt, like, he was having himself a game. So, like, there's so much talent on this defensive side of the ball. Even Channing Tindall ended up doing something spectacular during that game. Deshaun Hand, Paris Stephen keep bringing up Deshaun Hand. There's so much talent on this defense right now. And I want to I'm going to go ahead and just highlight of anybody else. Like, I could make it easy and just go on the defensive line, because Alf and CK and all them on the 3 yards per carry and OnlyFins, $3 a month, discord.gg/OnlyFins. They've been talking about how the defensive line, the whole defensive line, just absolutely toasted everything the Atlanta Falcons threw at them as far as offensive line pieces. But look, I want to highlight.
They ran out of edge players in the game because I think they only had a couple that dressed, and two of them got injured. Grayson Murphy and Cam Brown were two that got injured. Cam Brown was an off-ball linebacker that moved to outside linebacker. So they were having Gallimore in hand, and those guys play on the edge. And, you know, they're big dudes, and they couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
So maybe that had something to do with it. But I want to – sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought – and I did a take five on this on five reasons, actually – I thought the most impressive part of the defense, and yeah, there was plenty of like standout players and guys that you noticed, especially McMorris. But what impressed me the most about the defense is it's the first preseason game, a bunch of backup guys in a brand new scheme. And man, everybody looked like they knew what the hell they were supposed to be doing, who they were supposed to cover. Where, when, how much cushion they should give, where they should be going, just everything. They looked like if they're supposed to just keep in their area, if they're supposed to travel with a guy once he gets there. I mean, they knew, everybody knew what the hell they were supposed to be doing. It was very, very, very few mental errors, which usually a preseason game is full of that, especially in a brand new scheme. With a bunch of backups, and that's what surprised me and impressed me more than anything, and gave me a lot of hope for the defense earlier in the season.
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah, go ahead, Duke.
I was going to say, Coach Eric covered that as one of his highlights of in the post game was that the communication. There was just not a lot of communication breakdowns on the defense, which is, like you said, odd given its backups and it's the first preseason game in a new scheme. You'd expect that, and there really wasn't a lot of it.
That I just thought that was the most impressive part of it all. And I mean, we know, and I think it also says the offense has the special exciting players, right? That most of the exciting players are on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense is way deeper, much deeper. Like there is beyond the starters on offense in many spots, there are question marks galore.
There are
not on the defense, man. There's question marks. Like they are going to be cutting some NFL players.
There's about 30 players, 30 to 32 players on the defense right now that should be on the team. So that's how deep it is. There are going to be some six or seven guys that are going to make another roster. So,
yeah, I was impressed. You're talking about the D-backs knowing where their coverage responsibilities were. The defensive line linebackers, their run fills like. Usually guys are not going through the right gap or they're not playing discipline because they want to get in and make a tackle. Those guys were playing really cohesively. I mean, the Atlanta, they weren't running the ball very effectively against that unit because you'd watch it and those backs just had nowhere to go because you'd watch the linebackers and defense linemen. And they would just boom, 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 boom. And they just line up right in their gaps and basically do your job. Don't be a hero. And it was impressive. And you have to think that's coming with the new the defensive coordinator that we're not even seeing it yet. I mean, I'm excited for the season because I look at like the struggle with a team like the Patriots. You know, I got a smirk on my head when they get turned down by Brandon Ayuk when they try to pay him $32 million. Yeah, but
like pretty much, he said, "I'm not going to New England."
You're telling me you're going to march out like Bourne out there, and you realize like the Dolphins are going to put Ramsey on that guy, right? Like he's not going to need help. And that defense is going to be a monster for teams like that. And even Buffalo, like Buffalo's, they're down right now on receiving talent. I mean,
they lost Chase Claypool for the year for whatever that's worth.
I mean, the fact they were thinking he was one of their main guys. I'm just like, guys, I mean, I've seen this story before in Miami when we don't have the talent and you're hoping that Isaiah Ford's going to be that number three. He's going to make progress this year. And I'm just thinking like, you realize your number one's going to be covered by Ramsey, or we'll have Javon Holland and Fuller and all those guys who we're not even seeing play right now roaming around back there. I think Ron's spot on. This defense might be the story of the team, like how good they really are.
And then they just got back some guy this week. I don't know, number 15. I guess he's good.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. Yeah, I heard he's all right. I'm not sure who you're talking about, but yeah.
It's crazy how worried we were back about up, maybe. The edge. Like, offseason, I was like, man, with Phillips, Gunn, and Chubb, and you can't cut those guys, we're going to be struggling. And now all of a sudden, we've got you know, Agba's back, and you've got Kamara and Chop, who, you know, and now Phillips is back it, and Quinton Bell came out of nowhere. And so, yeah. Like, Ron's right. I'm like, God, who are we going to let go? Because we have all those guys are probably starting on, like, 10 rosters in the league right now.
It's crazy. They did a great job of just reforming that defense in a lot of ways. And we just weren't paying – not that we weren't paying attention. We were. But I think a lot of Dolphins fans that maybe that are a bit more casual or just now kind of coming on and starting to pay attention are going to be like, who are these names? But damn, I like them. Like, that's – I think that's going to be the thought process when they start watching real football here in a few weeks.
They Atlanta ran 30 times for 81 yards.
Well, they tried.
And they gained 24 of that from their backup quarterback, Nathan Rourke, had two scrambles for 24 yards. So that's where the bulk of their yards came from. Everybody else was, like, less than 3 yards a carry. So – you know, everyone was worried, oh, we lost Wilkins. And I'm not going to, you know, it was a preseason game. Nobody's really trying that hard. I mean, as far as schematically, they're not going to throw their best stuff out there. But that was going to be an issue with run defense, and it looked like it was going to be fine. And that's not including Benito Jones, who's like 330 pounds, the nose tackle, Calais Campbell, Zach Sealer. So, yeah, I'm getting more and more excited for this defense.
All right, so should we even bother giving score predictions for Dolphins Commanders? I figure, you know what? I think we'll wait. We'll wait for pregame. How about that? I feel like we've we'll cover that for pregame. We don't need to repeat it. All right, everybody. Once again, thank you all so much for joining us. We always appreciate everybody in the chat and just interacting with us while we do this show, while we're taking the pulse of Finns Nation. There's just so much to talk about now, and we'll try to get into as much as we possibly can. We'll be back for pregame on Saturday. We'll be covering everything leading up to that game. Will Tua play? Will he not play? I'm sure we're going to be keeping an eye on that. My initial bet at first is going to be not, just because McDaniel is going to be like, I know you want to play, but keep yourself healthy, please. Don't waste yourself on the preseason. But we'll see what happens. We'll go ahead and once again, it's jerseys305.com. Use the promo code 5. You'll get 10%. You'll get 10% off your order when you do it. So for myself, Ron Caniff, Chad Ronnebaum, Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke, thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Finns Nation.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.